little waiting's all right. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Dearest beloved of Christ Jesus, today is All Saints' Day in the church. It is a day that we remember those saints resting across Shum Road, those saints resting where they may be resting, members of your family, those who have gone before us, and who are now united as one in Christ Jesus. Never again will they bear the sorrows of this world. Never again, as you will soon hear, will they experience mourning or crying or pain anymore. Never again will they experience death ever again. Thus, today we have here flowers left by the family of Emma Dietrich Gerken. Flowers aptly reminding us that Emma and all your loved ones have washed their robes into the blood of the Lamb, and they are as white as snow. Thanks be to Jesus. Yesterday we observe All Saints' Day, a very important day in the church. For today we look back and we remember. It is important for us human beings to remember those who have gone before us. It's important for us to also remember that there is a now but a not yet. There's the now but not yet aspect of our reading this morning. And actually throughout the month of November, as we steadily march toward the end of the church year, there's this constant now but not yet. During the month of November, our minds will turn to the end times, to the new Jerusalem and the new earth coming down out of heaven, it being led by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of glory, of whom we just sang about. And what is this King of glory doing? He is leading His angels and His archangels and all the company of heaven. Actually, they are here today as we complete the circle. They are present. And in the midst of all of this, in the very midst, is the King of glory. We know that He will come on His second advent and we will see Him with our own eyes. Yet today, dearly beloved, He is here. He is here in the midst of us to serve us, body and blood, to announce to us that your sin is forgiven, to serve to us, body and blood, to strengthen our faith until life and salvation. Yes, we have the now but not yet in our reading this morning from our epistle lesson, 1 John chapter 3. Hear again the word of the Lord. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. This is the word of the Lord given to us this morning under our theme, You, dear one, you are a child of God. And so you are called, and so you are named a child of God. But you did not earn this name. We know that when we are born into a family, whether we like it or not, and we are given a name, whether we like it or not, we have no choice. And we also know, as Scripture tells us, that when we come into this world, dear one, we are not sinless, rather we are sinners. By nature, we are children of wrath on account of our sins that we have inherited from Adam. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. You see, you did not place yourself into the family of which you were born, and you did not place yourself into God's family. There is no way you or I could save ourselves. I cannot save you. You cannot save me. You cannot save yourself. Only through God's amazing love were you adopted and given the name Child of God. A love given you when Christ Himself lived and died and rose for you. Just how great is His love, you may ask? God loved the whole world. God loved each of you. In all of your misery and sin, God still loves you. And in all of my misery and my sin, God still loves me. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you hear it? Did you hear? This famous verse doesn't say that God liked the world. He so loved. God loved. God loved with a perfect love. God's love is a perfect gift, a lasting gift. Because of His love for you, you know Him as your Father, which is possible only through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself tells us that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus clearly says His Father, which clearly means to you and to me that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. And His love is given to you when His benefits are poured onto you in the sacrament of holy baptism. There at the font, dear one, there at the font is where you received a new name, Child of God. That's why a baptismal font must always be front and center in a Christian church. It's a reminder of your baptism, of what God has done for you and to you. It's not what you did. It's what God has done and continues to do, and what the Holy Spirit now does, reminding you of your baptism, reminding you that you are a child of God. The clear fact is this: you're not only a child in name, dearly beloved, but by His declaration. It is He who announces that you are His child. And since He declares it, it is the truth. And so you are. And so you are a child of God. You really are His child. Oh, yes, you are. Even though the world does not recognize you as such. The reason that the unbeliever has no conception of God is because they do not recognize God through Christ Jesus. They cannot comprehend how such an imperfect person as you and me could be called a child of God. They think that you have to do something or they have to do something, and they forgot that Jesus has already done it here and over there. And He continues doing it right here. It's true that outwardly you and I look like every other person on this earth. There seemingly is not a difference between you and every other person. You are still a sinner. I am still a sinner. And they are definitely sinners. You experience suffering and heartache and pain and mourning and crying and bitterness. There are many families who are experiencing that right now here at Zion. Yet, what is His promise? What is His promise to you, dear one? This is His promise. We hear it from the book of Revelation. He will wipe away every tear from your eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. The devil, the world, and our own sinful human flesh will be completely gone, cast away, passed away into the lake of fire. In this life, we must be on constant guard, therefore, against letting our sinful flesh, our old Adam, control us. That is not who we are. We are children of God. It is the new Adam who controls us as we live in Him and He in us. Yet in heaven, we know that in heaven, there will no longer be any restrictions like that. And this is so very hard for us to understand. After all, who of you have seen perfection? I haven't seen perfection. Now, when we think of perfection, we may think of the Buckeyes who go 12-0. Not this year, but they at times have gone undefeated. We think of that as perfection. That's not perfection. We know what perfection is, yet we haven't seen it. But we will see it when He returns with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Yes, this is so hard for us to understand. Yet, dear one, you trust in God, and in faith you believe His word. And in that trust and in that faith, yes, one day you will see perfection. Not with the eyes of another, but with your own eyes. You will behold Him with your own eyes, and you will see your Lord and Savior. No matter what others and we ourselves sometimes may think, we who know Christ and whom Christ also knows are most assuredly His children. Despite our sin, despite our imperfections, despite our sufferings and our heartaches and our tears, He still knows us. He still loves us. And in our confession of sins, which you have just confessed, in faith you believe that He has forgiven you of all of your sins. We know, you know, that you are a child of God. But what shall we be? Or what shall we become? That has not yet been disclosed to us. John is speaking about the experience of having a glorified body. At a funeral service, we often, quite often, especially at the grave, we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we hear that the corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. And this must happen because God Himself is immortal and God Himself is perfect. He is incorruptible. And for us to be in His presence, we must be the very same, pure and holy. You see, there is a great change coming. And John moves us this morning from our present dignity as His child to your future destiny as His loved one forever. So you shall be. So you shall be. The day is coming, dear one, when you shall be just like Jesus. Oh, you won't be God, but you'll be just like Jesus. That image of God that was lost by Adam and Eve will be restored in you. You will be without sin. And most importantly, you will live in Christ Jesus forever and ever. You will die once physically, But spiritually, you will never, ever die. We know that we will experience this perfection because we will see Jesus for who He is. You will see Jesus in all of His heavenly glory. And not only will you see Him in all of His heavenly glory, dear one, you will share in His heavenly glory forever and ever. So now we come to verse 3, our final verse. And verse 3 is speaking of sanctification. There is that fancy theological word that really means that we are being set apart, that we are being perfected, that we are being made holy. This isn't our work either. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the work that's being done on you right this very moment. God forthrightly tells you to purify yourself because He has given you the strength to do so. How can you accomplish this? Pastor, you just said it's not my work. But how are we perfected? How do you do this? My dear one, you have already done it. You have repented of your sins. You have confessed your sins. And in your constant repentance and in your constant confession of your sins, you're perfecting yourself. And forgiveness is announced to you. It's true, as you have already heard, that you cannot save yourself. Jesus did that long ago. Yet, He wants us to live in the fruits of faith, Galatians chapter 5, to prove that we are God, that we are His, and that He has given us this purity. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. We know this from Hebrews chapter 12. Without holiness, you cannot behold the One who is holy. So then, your focus must ever be on Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the Galatians and says, "The life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." That's our constant focus as a Christian. It's not about what we do. It's what Jesus has done and continues to do. It's about Jesus when He comes for us, what He will do for us then, for we will be with Him forever and ever. He our King, we His children. Yes, you are a child of your Heavenly Father, a child of God. Not someday, but right now. Here and now, you are a child of God, dear one, and no one can take that from you. For you are so named by Him in heaven, and since He has spoken it, it is the truth. In the age to come, therefore, which will be forever and ever, you shall be like Christ in His resurrection and in His righteousness. And this hope fills you. This hope fills all of us with great, great joy. It gives you power and purpose in this life. This hope calls you to the promise, to the holiness, as God's saints, as His holy ones, as His child. And so you are. So finally, dearly beloved, you do belong. You do belong to a heavenly household. And there in His kingdom and in His household, you will live forever and ever. He has named you. He has saved you. He has forgiven you. And He is coming for you. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly indeed. Come for your children. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.